Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On November 13th, BC Human Rights Commissioner Kasari Govender released a statement regarding the provincial government's ongoing response to BC's toxic drug crisis. In the statement, Govender calls on the BC government to emphasize evidence-based policies in order to address the crisis, accusing their current focus on criminalization and involuntary care as being influenced by stigma. To learn more about Govender's statement, as well as what proposed actions she believes the province should be taking in order to address the toxic drug crisis, we sat down for a conversation where she was able to explain her reasons for releasing this statement.
So we released a position statement on the toxic drug crisis. In many ways, it reflects what many experts in the field have been saying for a long time, and it brings that into a human rights perspective, essentially arguing that, you know, in order to respect the human rights of folks directly who are directly impacted, people who use substances, who come from all walks of life, some of whom deal with substance dependence, addiction, but some of whom don't. All folks, to prioritize their rights, we need to take policy steps that are rooted in the evidence rather than in ideology. So that means prioritizing, for example, safe supply, access to safe supply, and harm reduction services rather than emphasizing criminal law responses to the toxic drug crisis.
We then asked Govender to expand on her statement that the BC government's actions towards the toxic drug crisis were being driven by stigma of drug use and drug users.
I worry that the response has been based on, in part at least, on kind of an understanding that, prioritizing, first of all, kind of the perspective that this is about safety on our streets for non-drug users, rather than prioritizing the lives and the human rights of those who do use substances. That's not to say that all of us don't want safe streets, that all of us benefit from communities where we feel like ourselves and our families, our children are safe and our parks and in our public spaces. We absolutely do. And happily for us, getting more safety in our streets and our parks is the same as respecting people's human rights who actually use drugs, which is we need a solution to this problem. A lot of people in the wake of this, with much of the negative comments in the wake of releasing the statement have been, you don't care about the problem. You don't care about the people who are dying. You just think people should be able to kind of use drugs and as much as they want, and you're sort of promoting their suffering. In fact, this is the opposite. This is about saying what actually addresses the toxicity of drugs. These are the substances that are killing people or causing serious brain damage. Let's actually get to what the real solutions are. And the evidence shows that the real solutions lie in these kinds of public policy responses that may not intuitively at first feel right. But it's not about what's intuitive. It's actually about what the evidence supports. So I very much want to address the toxic drug supply. I very much want to ensure that people are not dying and seriously injured through toxic drugs. And ultimately, that will make all of us safer, whether we're directly impacted by this crisis from someone we love in our lives or ourselves, or just because we see this around us in our communities.
Later on in our conversation, we asked Kasari Govender to provide examples of different places in Canada as well as the world that have enacted policies similar to what she is advocating for.
I think every context is different for sure. When we can look to certain countries in Europe, we can look to Portugal and others to see how some of these policies have rolled out. Unfortunately, the evidence from Canada either hasn't been listened to or hasn't been given enough time to play out. But we can see the evidence of how we've done so far under a prohibition model, under a model where access to substances is illegal rather than the focus being on the safety of the substances that people are accessing. And we can see that because this drug toxicity crisis has arisen in the context of a prohibition model. It's arisen in the context of the existing, legal structure, which says that drugs are criminalized and that therefore we wouldn't try to make the drug supply safer. We would just try to eliminate it altogether. Well, that's great in theory, but that actually hasn't worked. That's exactly what gave rise to this situation in the first place.
Lastly, Kasari Govender left us with some more suggestions for what she believes needs to be prioritized when addressing the toxic drug crisis in BC.
So in my view, it's this position, again, despite how it's sometimes being represented, this position is not opposed to all forms of involuntary care. Sometimes involuntary care can be the right step from a human rights perspective if it is the last resort. If the science backs up that people will actually come out better than healthier than they went in, and that they have the right safeguards in place so that they can challenge the fact that they're being detained against their will or the conditions under which they're being detained. Those are all vital elements of having an involuntary care system. But even before we get to that point, we need to ask ourselves where we're spending all of our energy in terms and money and resources in terms of addressing this crisis. Where we need to be spending that is getting access to treatment options that exist now voluntarily. Putting aside for a second, we need access to safe supply, we need harm reduction facilities, we also need access to voluntary mental health services. You know, I think probably everyone listening, I certainly can draw multiple examples from my community, my community of loved ones, family and friends, of folks who tried desperately to get access to services and were unable to do it. And that worsened their mental health, it worsened their reliance on substances because there just weren't the resources available at that front end. Let's invest properly in services where people can actually choose to access services. That is a human rights respecting model, respects people's agency. But in addition to that, we also respect the science. I'm not a scientist, I'm a lawyer. That's partly why we put together this statement, so that we could look at the evidence out there and ensure that, we weren't basing this kind of legal model in something that doesn't have actual basis in life. But what we see is that the evidence backs up the use of voluntary care services and backs up safe supply, backs up harm reduction. And so we know that, there's some really problematic evidence about what happens when people are put into involuntary care only for substance use disorder. So were they not for other mental health issues, but only for substance use disorder. And then they come out and sometimes are more vulnerable and are more likely to overdose and die as a result. So we need to make sure that we're making policy decisions that are actually based in the evidence.
Once again, that was our conversation with BC Human Rights Commissioner Kasari Govender on a statement she made where she claims that the BC government is currently addressing the toxic drug crisis through policies that stem from stigma rather than evidence. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.